I bring greetings and blessings from Griffithstown Baptist Church, and it's always wonderful to come here. It's always wonderful to come to Salome in Cardiff, to meet you all, see what's happening, see what's developing and growing amongst you. But let's have a time of prayer now with the Lord that we would invite him in so that he would come and speak to us through his word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we would ask right now that you would open our eyes, our hearts to your word. Dear Lord, we have a prayer where we say, give us this day our daily bread. And we would ask that you would feed us this morning, that you would encourage us, that we would hear what you would have said to us, that we would understand and grow and develop because you are feeding us. Dear Lord, speak to us from your word, we would ask, so that we might be sustained and encouraged and empowered. We would ask that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you, the author of your word, would come now and he would speak directly to our hearts and souls and minds, that he would open our eyes, that we would be able to see, because we are met in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would see him amongst us. For that is an awesome thing, that our God is amongst us right now, and we would understand that. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said,
amen.
Thank you. I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy and John. Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 to 4, and then John 1, verses 1 to 6. That's Deuteronomy 34, 1 to 4. It's always wonderful to go to places where they have their Bibles and to hear the rustle of paper. That's Deuteronomy 34, 1 to 4. It's always good to have your Bibles with you, because, believe it or not, us preachers make mistakes. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 to 4. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised on the oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. Then to John 1, John chapter 1, the first six verses, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. It's wonderful that the Lord can give us his word. And while it was written many thousands of years ago, it's still as relevant in our lives today as it always has been. I may have asked you this question before, but I'm going to ask you again. I wonder what sort of Christian you are. I don't know if you can hear in our land today, because over many years people have been praying all over the world for this Wales to know revival, and whether or not you can hear it. The songs of revival, especially when we're singing together, worshipping the Lord. Can you hear it in your ears that it's not that far away? But what sort of Christian are you? Are you a kingdom liver? Or are you a churchgoer? Are you a blood-bought, spirit-filled disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you impotent, useless, inactive, just a churchgoer who knows nothing of the power of God. And I would ask this morning, loved ones of God, that you would know the power of God in your life. That you would understand the power of God in your life, that you would know his authority in your life, and that you are able to overcome the world rather than let the world overcome you. Do you have a life that's full of destiny and purpose, or do you struggle in the life that the world has given you? I wonder if you can really consider, why did Jesus Christ die for you? Why did God sacrifice his son? He didn't do that to form a people who have no power and who are useless, who have no influence and have no wisdom. A people who are the whim of the world, who do not bring glory to him, who have no faith and purpose. What is your faith like here this morning? Do you have power in your life? Do you have faith? Are you able to overcome? And do you have that seed inside of you that comes from Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit so that you can reach out and change what goes on amongst you, amongst your family, and within your church? Jesus and the Holy Spirit came to transform you. So rather than glimpsing that promised land as Moses did, you can experience it by living a life which is transformed so that you can be different, that you might bring glory to God, so that you would have a destination of heaven rather than hell, that you can be kingdom livers. You know, it's a pity in this world we don't have a fear anymore of hell and what it brings. I don't know if you had a glimpse of it or you've seen people who are destined for it. I'm fortunate, or perhaps I'm not fortunate, I don't know, but God's given me certain glimpses. And if we know anything about hell, it's a place that you don't want anyone to go to. You are fortunate, as I said, if you are a blood-bought disciple of Christ, that you know your destination. You would never want anybody to go to that other place. We would be fearful of trepidation. Why do you think God sent his son? For he desires all to come to him, not just a chosen few. Moses was born of a Jewish family, but he grew up as a prince in the court of Pharaoh. He tried to make things right by himself, and when he saw an injustice, he killed an overseer. Because of that killing, he was afraid and he ran away and he went into the wilderness, and there he found blessing in the form of love and a family. But then God called to him. You know the story of the burning bush. And Moses went back to his people and accepted his destiny, and he led them to the promised land. What is your destiny here this morning? Do you have a destiny and purpose on your life? If nothing else, what I've just described to you, it's for you to be able to warn others, please do not go to this place. Do not be seduced by what the world would like to tell you this place is like. But rather, it's a place of dread and of terrible fear. And I offer, and Christ offers you such a more wonderful place to go. Moses went back to his people and he accepted his destiny and led them back to a promised land, a land promised by God. Yet because of his rebellion, during his lifetime, Moses only saw the land. He never entered into it. And thank be to God that we have Christ. And he has opened the gate, he has opened the door that we are able to enter that promised land. But do you ever go through that door? Are you like Moses? Can you only ever glimpse? Do you just see that promised land from afar? Can you see that land which flows with milk and honey? And have you ever wondered, or are you wondering, why is it that all you ever do is look and you never experience? Have you ever wondered what it would be like if you entered it? Do you look around at others and you see that they're experiencing it? Because of that, you're jealous. And you don't take the courage to say, right, I'm going to take those steps myself and enter that land. if you've been through the waters of baptism, if you've given your heart to Jesus, if you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you become a disciple of Christ, this means that gate is before you to enter that promised land. Don't let your pride or anger keep you in the wilderness. I wonder if you've had a little taste, a little experience of that promised land. It may be that perhaps you just reach out and it always feels just out of reach, or perhaps your fingers brush against it. You cannot experience it. Loved ones of God, this morning, enable Christ into your lives so that you can experience it. You may perhaps be thinking in your mind, well, in your arrogance, I'm not good enough. Well, no, we never are good enough, but Christ has made you good enough. Do you feel good enough this morning? Do you feel encouraged this morning? Do you know that Christ is sat with you, that he's in your life and purpose, and he desires you to experience a life which is awesome? If only you could see yourselves with Christ. If only you knew what Christ was within you and enabling you to do. But is it your anger and pride and shame keeping you away from that? Because you see, you are an awesome people. This world needs you. You may think, well, perhaps it doesn't. I'm too old, or I'm too young. I got too much anger inside of me. I got too much shame. But this world needs you. For if you don't tell people, then who else will? And then when you go and stand before Christ and he says, I gave you this awesome life. If only you've accepted me. If you only allowed me to bless you. If you only enabled me to empower you. Look at these lives that you could have saved and be involved with. My countenance was supposed to be with you. Why did you reject it? Enable him to grasp hold of you. So when you stand before him, you could say, look at my diamonds, my gold, the people that are stretching behind me, and you enabled me to do that to bring you glory, God. That's the people that you are. Don't let it be out of your reach, but rather grasp it. Or perhaps you've just settled down to an existence which is a shadow of what it should be. Perhaps you have the presence of God, but you do not allow what God has promised you into your life. You've allowed yourself to compromise, and because of that, you've thrown away the promise, and you've settled down to become a Christian who's just basically happy to attend church, who's in the wilderness, rather than someone who's living and breathing the kingdom of God. You see, for the land that flows with milk and honey is you in the blessing of God. You've got two things to come out of you, haven't you? Vitriol and anger and hate and the evil eye as you look at people. I know if, I'm not saying that mothers do this, but a mother can give you a glance, can't she? And you know that you've done something wrong. Or you've gone over the boundary. Well, as Christ's people, love can pour from your eyes. You can have words of encouragement and blessing upon your lips. You know, Christ said he never came to condemn the world. You might feel conviction, but he never came to condemn. He came to save. Are you involved in that saving process? Or are you just like everybody else who desires to see the world condemned because they are wrong? The world was once like you, who perhaps didn't feel words of encouragement and blessing. And what they desire is to hear your words of blessing and encouragement. I know it's difficult on times, especially the way people are. We have some sayings in work with, there's no such thing as common sense, it's special sense, because the way people react and what perhaps is common and obvious to us, many people react in such a different way because that is the way they have been taught by the world. Have you allowed yourself as a people of God to live the shadow of a life that you should not be experiencing? that you've become a church Christian who's in the wilderness, who's not living and breathing the kingdom of God. Which means you do not possess the power of God. You don't have the authority given by God, which has been given to you. For you see, this world belongs to you. If you know of the early church, any of the early church history as Christians, they were prepared to die in the arenas. Christ meant so much to them. They knew the life that they were in. They had grasped the kingdom of God, and they lived within it. They no longer had any fear or shame or guilt, for they knew they had been forgiven. Loved ones of God here this morning, do you feel that you have been forgiven? Do you have forgiveness in your life? Do you experience forgiveness? For Christ came to forgive you, to give you life, to give you freedom. Do you feel that you are free, that you have no fear? Those early church Christians were prepared to go into the arenas. They had grasped the kingdom. They lived within it. They no longer had any fear or shame. They had grasped eternal life. They understood what it was to live in the kingdom. They understood that the land which flows with milk and honey was their relationship with God. And rather than rebel against God, they decided to live out their lives with the one who had created them. They allowed their life and love to enter them, and they no longer kept God at a distance. They knew the Spirit who had become their lives rather than reject or misunderstood him. They knew him. They knew that he was the key. Loved ones of God, do you have the Spirit in your life? Are you kept by the Spirit? So when you come into those situations in your life, you can overcome through the power of the Spirit, who's a free gift that has been given to you. Those living in New Testament times understood that to gain the life that God had promised them, the eternity which was theirs, to embrace God and his Son, and to allow the Spirit into their lives, it was only the only way to discover their place in life within the kingdom of God rather than stay in the wilderness. I pray, I beg you this morning that you would no longer be in the wilderness, but rather you'd be in the kingdom of God, that you've opened that gate and you've walked in to the kingdom, that you've embraced him, that the Spirit indwells your life, and that you've become an awesome individual, a person that can overcome. That perhaps when you look at your family and the situations that are going on, you are able to overcome. You would say God's will would be done in this situation, not our will. That we would speak the words of wisdom and of truth rather than my normal reaction, which is anger and hatred because of this situation. And rather I would use God's word and the power of the Spirit that would cut straight through it and enable us to be free from who and what we once were, and rather become the awesome people that you should be. That I hope that you're living in your life. Do you understand these things, or are they alien to you? Do you have the kingdom of God in your life, or are you satisfied with just purely being a churchgoer? Would you prefer to be someone who has an existence which is greater than the life that you live? For you see, the world would like to keep you where you are rather than allowing you to be the person with Christ that you should be. The promised land is before you. The promise of life, an existence which is full of milk and honey. It's up for grabs. The people of Israel were afraid to embrace it. And what did they do? They paid for their rebellion. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. A whole generation had to die before the promise could be fulfilled. Do the people around you have to wait for you no longer to be here for the promise to be fulfilled? Or are you going to reach into the promise and then reach out to others? For don't you wish to see heaven full? Don't you desire to stand before God and say, look what I was involved with, God. You enabled me to fulfill my destiny and purpose. And rather than, as we know, most of our young people who are going to a lost eternity, they would go to a land which was full of purpose and of greatness. The promised land is before you. It's up for grabs. Do you want to see it fulfilled? Or do you instead prefer an existence which is powerless, which is in the wilderness, that you just have a subsistence life? Or are you prepared to come to God and have a life which is full, a life which has such purpose and meaning? This day, God is showing you the promised land. His kingdom is before you. The land which has a people in it, which is supposed to be full of the milk and honey which flows from him. A place which is beautiful and has purpose and meaning, which has joy and love and peace. It has purpose and power because God's people cultivate the fruits of the Spirit. And they are ever there to fulfill their potential as God's child within the world. Are you Christ's or are you the world this morning? Do you have the Spirit and do you have purpose in your life? Or does your purpose come from what you watch and what you wear and what you eat? Do you just want to have a glimpse of the land always out of your reach? Or do you desire to open its gate and walk into it and fulfill your purpose? Those who live without purpose in the world, we see their state and unhappiness. God provides his blessing to those who would trust him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people here this morning and would ask, dear Lord, that perhaps they would just take a risk, that they would open that gate and allow the Spirit to come into their lives. And dear Lord, they would start living as kingdom people, as people who have wisdom and who have purpose, and they would accept the greatness that is upon their lives. Dear Lord, enable them to open their eyes so that they could see who they are, how awesome they are, how powerful they are, and what a transforming people they could be. Spend a few moments of quiet now with the Lord and enable him to come into your life. Take the risk. Be transformed. And enable him to give you what you need in your life.